You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Following on from my chat with MP Simon Court, I spoke to Dr. Maria Amurian, an associate professor in politics and international relations at the University of Auckland, the director of the University Sustainability Hub, and the co-director of the Ngā Ara Whatu Centre for Climate, Biodiversity and Society at the University, on the ACT Party stance on the Paris Agreement. ACT's stance on the Paris Agreement has received substantial criticism, despite New Zealand First also being in support of moving away from the Paris Agreement. National have been staunch on continuing with this framework alongside the opposition parties. Greenpeace campaigner Amanda Larson has referred to ACT Party leader David Seymour's comments regarding the framework as rage-baiting the extremist edge of the farming community to grab headlines, and that Prime Minister Christopher Luxon mustn't bite. This comes as Luxon indicated last week changes to our methane targets. Methane makes up almost a third of global warming and is over 80 times more powerful than CO2 in the short term. I spoke to Amurian about this, starting with how important the Paris Agreement is and what exactly the framework is. How important is the Paris Agreement and what is the Paris Agreement?
So just as a start, let's just start with the Paris Agreement's importance. Look, I think our planet is in heaps of trouble. Climate scientists have now gone back and recalculated the kind of trouble we're in, and they said now we are on track to exceed that 1.5 degrees Celsius level above pre-industrial levels in 3 years. So that's 2028, not 2030. So the Paris Agreement developed because of the science showing us that we were going to be in heaps of trouble if we didn't start to reduce our emissions and reduce the temperature of the climate. And so we don't cook the whole planet, so we don't burn it, right? So it's a binding legal treaty that came into force in November of 2016. And the signatories, which included every country with the exception of three, which was, I think, Iran, Libya, and maybe Syria. I'll double check that. Oh, no, Yemen. I think even Syria was on there. So they agreed to take action to limit the planetary temperatures to that 1.5 and to try even 2 degrees, right? So why 1.5? That's the point at which climate scientists have said we're going to be facing really more catastrophic impacts. And so that's the importance of the agreement. Now, since the agreement was signed, and like I said, all countries except for Iran, Libya, and Yemen had signed on to it, even though I believe they even endorsed it, even though they didn't agree to do it. Only the United States has withdrawn. And only the United States under Donald Trump, which means that he withdrew toward the end of his first term, and then Joe Biden re-entered the Paris Agreement, and then Donald Trump came in and pulled out one more time. So if we were to pull out of the agreement, we would be in the company of Iran, Libya, Yemen, and Donald Trump. And that's not a very good look. Now, not only is it not a very good look and makes us a rogue nation among other rogue nations, but it's really bad diplomatically to make a commitment and then say, oh, just kidding. It makes us look unreliable. It makes us look untrustworthy. And it makes us look like bad neighbors, especially to our Pacific community. And so it leaves a big diplomatic hole for others to step in. That might be China. We don't know who steps in into the void if New Zealand fails to be a good neighbor and fails to be trustworthy. And I'll tell you one thing about small countries. You know, we don't have huge military prowess to offer the rest of the world, and we don't have huge economic benefits to offer the rest of the world. What small countries have to offer is a different kind of diplomacy. It's called soft power. And soft power is all about these things like trust and good neighbor and good policy and, you know, kind of that idea that we're reliable and we're helping the world rather than being part of the problem. being part of the solution, even leading in the solution.
If we were to leave the framework, would we still be bound to meeting climate targets in any capacity in international law?
You know, that's a very good question, and I am not 100% sure I could answer that without a lawyer next to me. But I would think that, you know, there may be some consequences, but I, you know, because it was a binding treaty that we signed on to, but I can't remember what the exit strategies were in the thing.
Although the National Party have not indicated plans to leave this agreement, how much power does ACT have here, especially maybe with the support of New Zealand First, who are also in favour of leaving this agreement?
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it, the politics here. So I think a few things we have to acknowledge. One is that it is a coalition government, and so these two parties do have considerable power in sort of negotiating with National Party, because without those two parties, the coalition could fall apart. And so there is some power to try to push the National Party into that direction. However, we have seen some other attempts by ACT to push the National Party into a particular direction, particularly with the treaty principles. And we saw that it was really kind of not just a failure for ACT to get it through, but it was kind of for show, you know. It seemed like it was just kind of shock and awe of the country in a way. And this could be something like that too. I mean, look, one thing is for sure, Donald Trump has shown politicians how to be outlandish, and by being outlandish, they get a lot of attention in the media. And those of us who've been in the media know that, you know, that kind of sensationalism really, it, you know, pricks our attention. And so we go, oh my God, what's going on? And then we have to cover it. So it keeps them in the eyes of everybody. But then the problem is that their framing can be contagious, and that people can start to lose the overall view by seeing the narrow view that they're putting forward.
How would our trading partners view our sort of clean green image if we were to leave this agreement?
Oh, that's a great question. Look, New Zealand is in big trouble in terms of our green, clean image already. I mean, I'm just going to talk about the animal issue right now. We've got more than 4,000 native species that are either threatened or at risk of extinction. And that's an old number. It's probably much worse now. So that's 90% of seabirds, 80% of shorebirds, 26% of native marine mammals, and about, what do we have, 55 Maui dolphins left over the age of 1 year, something like that. The numbers may have changed since 2022. I can't imagine they've gotten much better. So why is that happening? Well, it's a number of things, and climate is part of it. So when the climate warms, it is just like, for example, for the birds, the climate warms and some animals that need cooler temperatures start to move. So some fish may start to move. Some other animals may migrate to cooler temperatures. What happens when the birds need to get food? They have to go farther and farther and farther, and it's difficult. So these are just examples. So not all of this, you know, threatening of the biodiversity is a result of climate change, but it's a major factor. So this is just one problem that we're going to be facing. And, you know, I think people do look to New Zealand to see the beautiful native fauna and the beautiful native flora, and to think about what it is to be a great eco-haven for these places. And we've done such great things with individual species, and we show the world that, but then we forget to acknowledge all the others that are in decline as a result. So it's not very good.
That was the University of Auckland's Dr. Maria Amudian on ACT's stances on the Paris Agreement and the importance of maintaining the country's commitments to this framework.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.